National opinion polls suggest the Labor opposition has a solid lead heading into tomorrow's poll, but few pundits are brave enough to call the result. Our political reporter, James Glenday, joined me a short time ago. James, is this election looking too close to call?
That's a really good question, and I think it depends on what sort of metric you use. If you look at the national opinion polls, Labor has a pretty solid two-party preferred lead, which, if repeated uniformly in seats around the country tomorrow, would deliver it majority government. Some might even argue by a landslide. But polls can be wrong, first of all, and in any case, they are unreliable indicators of how results are going to play out in individual states, let alone individual marginal seats. And I think the thing that's causing the most uncertainty at the moment is that these same polls suggest that the primary vote, so the first vote that people give, of the major parties is relatively low. And that just adds to the unpredictability, particularly in very, very close races. And both major parties are also saying things behind the scenes, that things could have tightened up a little bit in the final days. That's actually pretty common because undecided voters who don't pay a lot of attention to what's going on start to make up their mind, and that becomes reflected in some of these surveys.
So, James, which states are the ones to watch and the seats too?
Yeah, so the coalition holds notionally 76 seats, which is the minimum for what it needs for majority government. That means it can't lose any in net terms. Labor needs to pick up 7 to govern in its own right. And the opposition thinks it has a path to do that by winning Reid in New South Wales, Robertson on the state central coast, Brisbane in Queensland, Boothby in Adelaide, Chisholm in Victoria and Swan in Perth, as well as Bass in Tasmania. Now, none of those are a sure thing, but there are 5 to 7 others where the opposition thinks it is very, very competitive or even in front. And then you have these inner city seats which are being contested by pro-climate independents, the so-called teal candidates. There's 6 of those that have a chance. It's very hard to tell how well they will or won't do. Zoe Daniel in Goldstein is considered by the major parties to probably have the best chance. They are going to be interesting ones to watch because they could change the makeup of the parliament. From the coalition's point of view, briefly, Sam, it was hoping to offset some of its losses elsewhere by picking up seats, particularly in New South Wales. Its key targets were Gilmore on the New South Wales south coast, maybe Hunter near Newcastle. It's just not clear whether it's actually been able to make those inroads yet. Of course, we might see that be the case tomorrow night, but it doesn't feel like there's this monster swing on. It really does feel like a seat-by-seat battle where a lot of campaigning effort is being put into a relatively small number of electorates.
James, are there any particular issues that you think may sway votes?
Yeah, I feel a bit depressed saying this, but the leaders, really. I think that's what's going to sway people's vote, particularly undecided people. Labor's really tried to make this about Scott Morrison's competence and his character. So his problems with vaccines, problems with rat tests, problems with holding a hose, problems with inflation rising, and problems with wages going backwards in real terms. And on the other side, you've had the coalition trying very hard to portray Anthony Albanese as kind of a risky change in an uncertain time and saying that he wasn't up to the job because he couldn't remember stats and things like that. The government really wanted to fight this election a lot on national security and the economy, and I think you'd probably argue in the wash-up that events haven't really helped it. The Solomon Islands security pact with Beijing was not good for Australia, but it wasn't good for the coalition's message either. And neither was the big 5.1% inflation figure, which then, of course, led to the rise in interest rates at a time when the coalition was campaigning about reducing the cost of living for families. So those events have kind of played into this campaign too.
So sorry to get you to stick your neck out, but do you think we'll get a result tomorrow night, or is a hung parliament a real possibility?
Hung parliaments are always possible, and they're always speculated about, generally in the last week or so, unless the polls are crystal clear. I think you look at history, and that history suggests that hung parliaments are very rare. Generally, our system of preferential voting delivers one party majority in the lower house, though. Going back to what the polls were saying about the low primary vote of the major parties, my caveat on that, Sam, is that the support for the major parties is not as high as normal. And when you look back at recent elections from 2010, 3 of the past 4 have been pretty tight. So tight, close elections with only a few seats changing hand is the trend. I personally suspect we'll probably have a result tomorrow night, but I could be wrong there. And I'd also point out that there's been next to no discussion on the second half of this election, the Senate. Because of those low primary votes in the major parties, it's almost certain that no one is going to have an upper house majority. It's complicated. The Senate's not very well understood, but it is so important. And whoever wins is going to have a hard time getting their legislation through Parliament, probably. And once the dust settles on the lower house, presuming it's not a minority government situation, is sort of flagging, then there's going to be a lot of focus on the upper house and the various combinations of votes that's going to be required for either the coalition or for Labor to, you know, get legislation through and efficiently run the country.
Our political reporter, James Glenday.